Hi, welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this very special bonus episode, we answer more listener questions. We talk about moving on to finger foods, our thoughts on adoption, advice for a teen mom, and more. Let's get to it. Hey, Laura, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. So we have more listener questions. I'm so excited. Why don't we get started? What's our first question?
Okay, I'm excited to get started on these questions. Here we go. I'd love some tips on going from purees to finger foods. It seems daunting. Where to start?
Good question. I remember living in that twilight zone. For me, it was starting with small, a little bit more firm bites of like fruit, like a soft fruit, say a peach cut up into a smushy bit, as opposed to like a puree that's just, you know, has no texture to it.
Sure.
So that kind of thing, and any type of vegetable or anything I could do with that, just trying to slowly start making things chunkier. And then we just love puffs. I always, both my girls really liked, like the Gerber, just like little rice puffs that dissolve almost immediately in their mouth. I think it's safe for like 6 months and up or something like that. So that was nice to get them used to a firmer texture. And then just went on from there, just here and there testing what they could handle, like a full Cheerio, you know, which is a little firmer than a puff.
Yeah.
And a bite of banana, which wasn't mushed up, that kind of thing. Kind of like a stepping stone approach to regular foods. What about you, Laura?
Yeah, we were kind of the same. You know, for people who do baby-led weaning, I guess this isn't an issue, which is kind of nice, I guess, right? Mm-hmm. You never have to worry about it. But for us, yeah, so I had that mash and serve bowl. Do you remember those?
No. Mm-mm.
It's a bowl. I think I talked about it on the show. It's a bowl that like has texture underneath, and it comes with a little masher. And so it's a way to make, you know, quickly make purees, but it also allows you to make sort of half purees, you know, make sort of chunkier purees. Because if you stick it in a food processor, you can't end up with chunks. It's sort of like all or nothing. But this thing, I started slowly making it less mashed and more having more little chunks in it to increase the texture. And then same thing, you know, I think I got some puffs from you at some point and tried them with him, and he seemed okay. So we moved on to Cheerios and slightly larger chunks of fruit. Oh, strawberries, you know, cut up strawberries are a good one. Or raspberries are actually a really good one because they're really soft. And you can cut them, you know, just tear them into little teeny pieces. And so that was pretty much what we did. And, you know, to this day, I don't know about you, I'm still having a little bit of an issue with the size of the food my toddler's eating, because he doesn't like taking bites of things. And so we're trying to like teach him how to like take a bite of things instead of just shoving a whole piece in his mouth. I mean, he will shove just the whole giant piece of something in his mouth. So we're working on that, but it's sort of an ongoing thing.
Yeah. I think one of our listeners even made a comment about it in one of our groups, like, I go out of all the trouble to meticulously cut up all my baby's food, and then all they do is just palm it and just shove it all in their mouth anyway.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my girl does that too.
Yep. Today I, you know, picked apart a couple pieces of soft cheese for my guy, and he grabs like all three of them in my palm and shoves them in his mouth. I was like, great. Great.
Oh, they got voracious appetites.
All right. What's the next question?
All right. Ooh, this one's for you. It says, Laura, are you modifying anything with your toddler now that you are pregnant, lifting him, etc.?
Ooh, sort of. So I've talked about how my SPD pain is flaring up in this pregnancy earlier than last time. And so one thing I'm unfortunately having to modify is I can't like walk to the park and then spend an hour at the park and then walk back without it being really painful, at least not yet. Maybe if I start building up to it. So I have to like drive to a park instead, which I know doesn't sound that bad. But you know, it used to be the whole morning. We'd walk 20 minutes to the park. I'd chase him around the park and then we'd walk 20 minutes home. So that's been a little bit of a bummer. I actually asked my teacher in my toddler and me class, we do virtual toddler and me classes now, like if there was anything I should do to prepare him. And she said, one of the things you can do is start getting him used to sitting next to you instead of on top of you. So I haven't been very good at that, but it's in the back of my mind. I mean, I'm right now, I'm, you know, about halfway through, and so I still have time, right? But yes. It's in the back of my mind to start setting him next to me on the couch, especially because my belly's getting bigger, so he can't really nestle in the way he used to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sitting him next to me. And then I do have to just be really mindful about how I like sit down and stand up. So mm-hmm. I can't just chase him around. Like basically he's getting away with more because he can, it used to be like I'd sort of be able to like lean over and grab him if I needed to, you know? And yeah. Now he knows he can just run away. And so I have to be really mindful of like always making sure the baby gates are closed and just letting things go if he's running away. Cause I can't do anything that really like engages my core as I'm twisting.
Yeah.
You know, cause that really messes it up. So yeah, so I think it's starting to creep in a little bit more, and I think I'm just trying to be mindful about how I move my body in relation to him. And I'm also just enlisting Corey's help more. Like mm-hmm. I can't wrestle him into his jammies at night, you know, so Corey's kind of doing it. But
oh,
yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine now that we're home, you know, both home. And if there's anything really bad, I can ask Corey to, you know, come in from the office and help me. But mm-hmm. it would be a lot worse if he was at work. I think my toddler yeah. would get away with a lot more.
Oh, you'd be home all day trying to deal with that. That would be so hard.
I mean, by myself. I'm already home all day trying
well,
to deal
that's
with
what
it,
I meant.
But
yeah.
by myself. Yeah. Well, you did it, but I guess Elle was older, so she was a little bit less in that, like, was she, like, still in the constantly wanting to be held phase? When you were pregnant?
No, I don't think so. By the time I had to slow down with her, she was probably 2.5-ish.
Yeah.
And I was still working and she was going to preschool all day. So
oh, that's right.
Most of my life was sitting on my ass in an office chair all day. So mm-hmm. I had it pretty cush. And honestly, thinking back, I'm like, God, what did I do to modify with her? I don't, it just becomes a blur of a memory. I mean, it's really hard for a couple months and then, it's over.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I just remember getting out of breath so much, like trying to play with her and keep up with her. I'm like, even reading books to her at night. I was like, pout, pout, fish.
Oh, no. You're the pout, yeah. You're the puff, puff mom.
Puff, puff mom. Oh, let's write that book. Oh, my gosh. Well. All right. These questions are so great. I'm loving this. But Laura, we need to take a quick break and return with more questions. Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids. But you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why Storyworth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give Storyworth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, Storyworth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted Storyworth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and we've got more questions from you guys that we are going to answer. Laura, what's up?
Okay.
Do we have another question?
Yes, this one's actually about podcasting.
Ooh.
So the question is, how does making money from podcasting work? Googled it and ended up more confused. And then nicely, she added, I heart BFP. Oh, we heart you.
Aw, thank you, heart.
Shauna, do you want to start?
Yeah. Yes, it can be very confusing. I remember back in the beginning, just like, well, first of all, it felt like a pipe dream, right? Like, you and I started this,
of course,
out of just our own interest and passion for talking to each other. And I, you know, I had no clue how it worked.
And we loved podcasts. That's the other thing. Like, we were both
like
maniacs. So we talked about starting a podcast for years, but never had a good idea. And then all you have to do is both get pregnant at the same time, it turns out.
There you go. But eventually what happened is we partnered with an agency that works with advertisers and finds the advertising that fits with our show and our audience.
Yeah, so we have this agency. So let me just say also, so straight from the beginning, at the very beginning, we weren't running any ads. Like, our show is ad supported, as I'm sure you've noticed, and skipped through the ads and whatnot, or listened and used our promo codes, hopefully. And that's because, you know, it takes a lot of energy and money to support a podcast. We, you know, we have to pay for hosting. We don't pay ourselves, really, you know, maybe a little bit, but we're paying for advertising, basically our own advertising to get out to you so you can find us. our podcast hosting, which is how like the actual audio files get out to you, and then like our web hosting for our website so you can go find our links and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And those are our main costs, you know, and then like software and stuff, all that, all that stuff. So at the very beginning, we were just doing it sort of essentially hobbyist in that we weren't making any money. Then we were on a host, a different host. Some of you might remember we were on a host called Anchor, and they had a like a built-in thing where ads could run. So for a while we did that. And then we switched so that we could work with this advertising partnership. So they helped us. They help us find our ads. And as Shauna mentioned, and so that's how we do it. And we get basically what happens is you get a certain amount of money per 1,000 listens, and they can see how many people download it. So like 10,000, they call it CPM, cost, cost per mil, which is really cost per 1,000.
And I have to say, when I Googled all this, that's where I really got confused. I was always like, well, what is
it's
CPM?
Like French CPM. Yeah. I think it's French because mil is, anyway. So CPM, let's say you get, if you get $10 per CPM and 10,000 people download it, you get $100, right? So there you go. And then, of course, a portion goes to our advertising agency, all that stuff. So that's how we work. But there are podcasts who have like Patreons where listeners will pay for bonus content. And there are also like, if you go to the big name podcasts, like your Michelle Obama's, your Joe Rogan's, your Brené Brown's, right? She has a big one, I think, that just went live on Stitcher. Anyway, they get like, they are actually being paid, I think, by their hosting platforms because they're celebrities. And
because they're are they exclusive to those platforms? I think that's
I think
the
a lot
idea,
of them
right?
are. Or they're exclusive for a period of time. Like they're exclusive for X months and then people can listen. So, yeah. So that's, I mean, generally how podcasting makes money. I know there's also a lot of people who don't do ads, but they're using it as like a way to funnel business to their like main business.
Right.
So they have a podcast talking about money management. And then at the end, they want you to visit their website so you can either buy their book or hire them to do money management, that sort of thing. But yeah, it's kind of the Wild West right now.
That's, yes, that's what it seems like. But all of this to say, we wanted to share this with you guys because if any of you out there are interested in starting a podcast, you know, we support you 100%. We want to encourage everyone to follow your heart and put your own voice out there. So go for it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And go for it. But I will say, don't do it for the money. It's not,
that's
you know, it's
true.
Not necessarily a lucrative thing. And, you know, we do this because we love it. We absolutely love it. So, but, you know, there are, I mean, yeah, sure. The Joe Rogans of the world are making a good living. But unlike Joe Rogan, and what the my favorite murder people who got like a multi-million dollar deal,
oh,
I think,
yeah.
for their podcast. Shauna and I are not millionaires. You may notice that Shauna and Steve are still working their full-time jobs and I'm still doing what I can. So
yeah,
not retiring yet, but we're not retiring the podcast either because we love it, love it, love it. So
yes.
You don't have to worry about that.
Indeed.
Shauna, what's the next one?
Okay. I'm starting a home business and I'm looking for tips to get the jobs done for the business, house, and kids. Help. Ooh, I can relate to that. Laura, I'm sure you can too.
Yeah, I feel like you are the, well, okay, I'll just start because I think your answer is going to be a little longer. Oh, this is hard. It's so hard. I guess the question is whether they're, what kind of situation they're in with this whole quarantine, because that makes a difference. Because my first instinct, like, let's just say this is normal times. Let's say you're catching up with the podcast. This is years ahead. And you're like, oh, my gosh, you guys, the vaccine came out and everyone's better now. Like, stop talking about it. Yay. What a great future you must be living in. So let's say it's like that. Then just get help. Like, you have to look at getting childcare as an investment in your business, like spend money to make money, all that stuff. I'm bad at that. Like, I've never been good at that, but I've been self-employed for 7 years, something like that. So I remember what it's like to be self-employed and try to get all this, you know, all your ducks in a row. And you will, like, the childcare will pay for itself. Like, the more the childcare will save your sanity and give you time to work on your business. So, like, it's absolutely necessary. If you're not comfortable with that, with the you know, with the quarantine stuff, then it's going to be trickier. You're going to have to do a lot of juggling with your partner if you have one, and a lot of late nights, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. That's what I was going to say. Need to, if you have a partner, switch off and do shifts. I multitask constantly, and that's pretty much how I get anything done. So, like, I'm making dinner while the mac and cheese water is boiling. One kid's playing with the pots and pans on the floor while I'm, you know, taking the dishes out of the dishwasher, and I'm like checking email on my phone as it comes in to address things. So if that's not a skill of yours, maybe brush up on that if you can. I know it's not my favorite thing in the world, drives me nuts, but oftentimes it just has to be done. Like, when can I fit in doing the dishes? Oh, while the hot dog is cooking or whatever. So multitasking.
But like delegate where you can, right? So if you can get like a virtual assistant who can answer your emails or something, you know, anything like that, or just automating things like ordering dinner every damn night if you have a big deadline or something, you know, letting yourself understand that that's an investment. Like, especially if you're self-employed, sounds like, you know, you said home business. So it sounds like you're probably going to be paid hourly or by how much you produce. So time is money. So don't feel bad about getting that delivery for dinner or lunch or both. You know, I spent a long time feeling guilty about spending money on stuff like that until I realized, like, wait, my hourly rate is more than what I'm like spending on this food. It's, if you're thinking it from a business point of view, it's cost effective to do it this way. So
Yeah, exactly. And my last tip for addressing the house is, one thing I've gotten in the habit of doing is quickly tidying up, at least not 100% like perfection every day, kind of at the end of the day, but at least like a sweep through where the toys go in bins. So I have a clear floor in the morning. I try to at least like just make sure the dishes are done or and the table is clear so that there's some sense of fresh start every day. And then the deep cleaning stuff, I mean, I get to that when I get to that. And I've just had to let some standards go, frankly. So
I think that's good advice. Okay, Shauna, I'm loving answering these questions, but we need to take a quick break and then come back with the rest of them.
Okay. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors, there's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although, of course, it is helpful in those situations, too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by LolaVie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With LolaVie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter LolaVie's best sellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at LolaVie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
LolaVie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at LolaVie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LolaVie.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We're back and we have more listener questions. Let's get to it.
Yes, we do. Okay. The next one is, if either of you couldn't have had your own children, would you have considered adoption? Shauna?
That's a great question, especially since I was dealing with infertility for a while. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would have. I definitely would have. You know, I really wanted to be a mom. It was not on my mind right at the time because I still wanted to give it a go, you know, to have a biological mm-hmm. child. But I think if we'd gotten to that place and we needed to cross that bridge, I don't think I would have hesitated. I think that would have been an awesome choice to make and totally fulfilling. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're done having kids after this one, but I still like think about adoption because like, I feel like it's in a lot of ways, it's like the right thing to do. There's so many kids who need homes. And but on the other hand, I know it's incredibly difficult and incredibly emotionally difficult, incredibly like logistically difficult. Where you know, is it international? Is it domestic? Is it through the foster care system? Is it all this stuff is very hard to navigate. And also it's incredibly expensive. I think I read, or it can be, I guess if you mm-hmm. do it through the foster care system, it doesn't have to be expensive, but, you know, private adoption is up to like $65,000 is what I read in the New York Times
recently.
So, you know, it's a lot to consider, but like just from a knee-jerk reaction point of view, like, yeah, for mm-hmm. sure, right? Like I've had these thoughts being like, well, maybe I'll just be one of those people who adopt like 10 kids, you know, and just spend the rest of my life taking care of kids. Aww. And I know it's not an easy path, but it always makes me so sad to hear about kids who don't have a loving home, and knowing that that's something that we could provide it in a lot of ways. I'm like, gosh, are we selfish for not even trying, you know? But
Well, you're making me feel that way right now.
Yeah, let me make you feel guilty about it. I mean, obviously we both, you know, the thing about having biological children of your own is that it's, if you can do it easily, it's much cheaper and much easier, right? Like mm-hmm. the financial incentive, if you're not having, and even if you are having fertility problems, like your insurance covered a lot of your fertility stuff, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like $65,000 out of pocket, it's not like a lot of people can do that. So,
yep,
and you know, I have good health insurance, so I'm paying my out of pocket minimum and having a baby, you know, mm-hmm. like wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. So I understand that it's not as simple as just wanting to give a kid a safe home. And there's also lots of complications for, you know, whether the birth family's involved and all that stuff. It's a complicated matter, but I really, really respect adoption as a process and feel like it's fantastic. And yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Shauna, do we have one more question?
We don't just have one more question, Laura. We have a lot more questions.
Oh my goodness.
I know. But let's do one more for this episode and save the rest for another bonus episode.
Bonus episode bonanza. I think it's a great idea.
All right, let's do it.
All right, what's the last question then?
It is, I'm a teen mom who listens to BFP, so I'm on a fairly different walk of life. Would you have any advice for teens or young moms?
Oof, that's a tough one. I mean, we are the opposite of teen moms. We were like double teen moms. We're twice.
I know.
36 or older and pregnant. I always wanted to do a parody of MTV's 16 and Pregnant, which, by the way, I'm a huge fan of that show. It's my like guilty pleasure television watch. I watched Teen Mom and Teen Mom 2 and 16 and Pregnant. And I always wanted to like make a 36 and Pregnant version.
40 and Pregnant. That was me last time around.
Well, now I'm 38 and Pregnant. So, but yeah, I mean, first of all, hats off to you for taking on a challenge like this at that age. I mean, I was not emotionally prepared or financially or physically, like none of it. So I have a lot of respect for young moms. I'm sure you get a lot of stigma around it, or it's weird because it's, I don't know, in LA at least, the demographic of mothers like on the playground are much older. Mm-hmm. So I can see how it would be hard. So first off, I just want to say, like, you're probably doing awesome and it's very impressive. Specifically, it's hard for me because I feel like everyone says, like, you still need to finish your degree and you still need to go for all your things. And I think maybe that's true, but also no one is really forcing older moms to do stuff like that. Like, no one's expecting us to go to school at the same time as having a newborn. And I think maybe setting your expectations to be reasonable and understand that you have a lot of life left ahead of you. And if things are delayed, it doesn't mean that they'll never get done, you know? And give yourself some grace in that, because you're doing something that's really, really hard at a really tough time in your life. So I think the only advice I can give you is, like, give yourself credit, believe in yourself. Get advice from people you actually trust and admire, not just from randos. And, you know, and your life will continue. You know, I actually, one of my mom's partners at her medical practice was a teen mom. She had twins at 16, I believe, and ended up, you know, she was delayed. She had to delay graduating from high school, but she ended up going to college, going to med school, and becoming a doctor. And, you know, it's not like that can't happen for you. So,
It might just be a different timeline, but that's totally fine, too. I mean, my timeline is a little bit more of a late bloomer, you know, and as far as having kids and all this stuff. So your timeline is right for you, and you can absolutely take this time to focus on your baby if that's what you want to do. And if you want to bring other things into the mix, you can do that too. Yeah. It's your life, your choice. My other thought is that really lean on your support system, whoever that may be, and don't feel bad if you need grandma or your uncle or aunt or whoever's in your support system watch the baby while you do stuff. Yeah. I remember in high school, a classmate had a baby at 16. And, you know, some of the people would kind of gossip a little bit, like, oh, her mom is always watching the baby. It's like, well, yeah, no kidding. Like, that's fine. Like, she's 16. She needs a support system. And that's what she's doing. And I think that's completely fine.
Which, not to mention, like, grown, you know, fully grown 30-somethings have their parents watch their kids all the time, too.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Do what you need to do. No shame. And, you know, not like Laura and I are the end all be all of parenting advice, but the fact that you are trying to learn more, you're listening to podcasts about parenting, you are on the right track. You care about learning stuff about being a parent. That's awesome. So my last piece of advice is just keep doing that. Keep learning. You can read the Janet Lansbury book that we love so much. You are not too young to learn a philosophy of parenting if you want to treat your baby with respect. My mom was young when she had me. She was 20. She had just turned 22. So she wasn't teen, but she was very young. But she was able to just know that she wanted to treat her babies with respect and kindness, and she instilled that in us at a fairly young age, and you're not too young to do that. So that's what I would say to you. And yes, great job. You're doing great.
And also enjoy having that young ass body, assuming you're able-bodied and everything. Like, oh man, what I wouldn't give to like have a young body chasing my toddler around.
Run around the playground with that kid. Do all that fun stuff. Take him to Disneyland.
All the shit we get tired of doing after like 20 minutes.
I know. It's like, oh God, I have to drag this tent onto the beach, onto the sand. So take your kids to the beach. Great question. And thank you for listening to our show.
Yes.
I love that you do and that you wrote in. That's great. Oh, that was fun. Thank you all so much for writing in with your questions. We love hearing them, and we love being able to talk to you like this and answer your questions. If you have anything else you want to ask us for a future episode, please reach out. Laura, where can everyone reach us?
We are on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. There's a contact form on there you can use, or you can send us an email, and you could include a voice memo if you want to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, we have a Facebook community group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. It's a private group, so request to join. Please answer the two membership questions we have, and we will send you right through to our private community where we talk about all kinds of stuff, pregnancy, parenting, TTC, adorable baby related. So
come join us.
Come join us.
Big Fat Positive is produced by Laura Bierich, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thank you for listening, everyone. See you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.